Welcome to Reformation Platform Ministry. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please listen with your heart as the servant of God brings forth the Word of Life.
We ask that you help everyone by your Spirit. Grant everyone understanding that they may understand spiritual things, even in the name of Jesus Christ. Give them the spirit of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, even in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you because you are faithful. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. And so, Father, we say thank you. Thank you that we are all entered into the new year because you have a purpose for our lives. We appreciate you in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We have come before you, Lord. Speak, Lord. We are listening to you. And we will do your will, even in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please let us be seated. May the Lord bless you. Happy New Year. Amen. For the next 3 weeks, we are going to be talking about the primary and the secondary reasons why Jesus came into this world to die for us. I know it's a very long title, so you can just simply call it Why Jesus Came. Okay, at least that way you can just write it like that. But what I'll be talking about is the primary and the secondary reasons why Jesus Christ came into the world. Now, what I'll be doing today is I'll just be introducing it. Do you understand? So when we meet again on Monday, I'll be talking about the secondary reasons why Jesus came. And then when we are ending this general class by the third Monday, I'll be talking on the primary reasons why Jesus came. Amen. But today, I just want to bring an introduction, do you understand, into what I want to talk about. Amen. And as a way of introduction, I want to use just three passages. Okay? Because when I was asking the Lord about it, initially what I had planned was I was going to start, you know, I was just going to delve into it. But he told me there's a need to introduce it. Okay? So I'll just use three passages. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 to verse 7. That's the first one. Philippians 1, verse 19 to verse 21. That is the second one. And Acts chapter 19, verse 20. That is the third passage. Amen. So let's go to the first one. Hebrews 10, 5 to 7. Hebrews 10, 5 to 7. If you have a King James Bible or a New King James Bible, you can read for me. Hebrews 10, verse 5 to verse 7. When Jesus came into the world, this was what he said.
Sacrifice and offering you do not desire.
Sacrifice and offering you did not desire.
But a body,
that is what you have prepared for me. I'm sure later when we are looking at maybe other translations like Amplified Bible, it will say a body for me to offer. That's what you have prepared for me. Yeah?
In burnt offerings. And sacrifices for sin. You have no pleasure.
That's not what you want.
And I said,
Behold,
I have come.
In the volume of the books,
it is written of me
to do your will,
O God.
Amen. That is the first thing I had. I mean, the first passage of scripture. And it's interesting that this was talking about Jesus Christ. But the Lord also desire that in this new year, this will be your resolve. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this is where we are going to start from. Even though there's so many things to talk about, and we will talk about them, okay? The very first thing I want you to understand at the beginning of this year is what? From verse 5. He said, therefore, when he came, or you can say, when I also came into the world, what I'm saying is this to God. Sacrifices and offering you did not desire. You see, when preachers are hungry for offering, that's when they talk and shout so much, there are offerings that you can give, that when you give, that heavens will shake. It's a lie. What did I say? It's a lie. There's nothing you can give. If you take the entire planet Earth to give to heaven, they won't shake. God made the heavens and the earth. So, what special thing have you done? Even though offerings have been promoted recklessly, ministers don't even know that offering is not a routine. What did I say? If the Lord tells us to ask for offering, we will ask you. Amen? Mm-hmm. At least in about 15 years, the Lord has asked us for offering like 2 times. Were we not faithful to ask? We asked. When he said we should ask for offering, we asked. Amen? Mm-hmm. The offering is not a routine. So that's what you are saying. Jesus said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. That's not what you're looking for. That's not what pleases you. There's a reason why Christ came into the world. And it is more than all the things you are promised. Amen. Amen. Sacrifice is not what he's looking for. And may you understand it in Jesus' name. Amen. May you understand that while it is good to give to God, and I have no problem with it, amen, it is just that I won't become a professional at collecting offering. That's just the issue. Amen? Amen. I remember when I was on campus, I came once, they told me that I should raise an offering. And as soon as I thought about it, they gave double of what the fellowship was looking for. So I told myself, be very careful. Amen. Sacrifice is not what he's looking for. When you bring him offerings and sacrifices without giving him what he desires, you have not sacrificed anything. Amen. In fact, I used to teach many years ago, and I still believe it, that there are several things you must give to God before your offerings can be accepted. Amen. Number one, you must give him your life. Do you understand? Number two, you must give him your heart. Oh, you think they are the same? They are not. But today is not the day to teach those things. Number three, you must give him your will. Number four, you must give him your time. Amen. Then, after you've done that, if you want to give money, you are free. So people who have not given their lives, people who have not given their hearts, people that have not given their will, people that have not given their time, will bring money to for a God they can bribe. He says, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire. That's not what you're looking for. But what does he desire? It's in the passage, no? A body. What is God looking for? A body. That's what he's looking for. At the retreat last year, you know, we ended the year by telling you that you enter into your prophetic destiny when Christ has done what to has entered into your life. So most of what we are going to be teaching you this year is understanding the implication that the master is now the person that is living inside. If you want to start a good year, how do you start a good year? you give God an offering.
Amen.
Yeah, all of you came out for the, you know, for the altar call, if you remember that night. Huh? Everybody came out. Everybody wept before the Lord. Everybody shouted and said, Lord, come into this life. Let me enter into my prophetic destiny. Did you enter or not? You all did. Do you understand? Now, I'm just teaching you why he came into the world. Amen. Why he came to die for us. Why? It is so that he can redeem you. He can buy you back, okay, as his own. And why? So that he will have a body that he can use if he has works in Nigeria. Imagine that he has bought all of us now. Is it not so? And then he said, you, I want you to go to secondary schools. You, I want you to go to the business world. Amen? You, I want you to go into children ministry. You, I want you to go into a service group. Do you get the idea now? Just like that. And then what will he do? Since the offering is looking for his what? A body. What then will he do? You know, remember that it's God, though. And if it's God, three things that nobody else, if the person is not God, can have those things. One, omnipotence. Two, omnipresence. Three, omniscience. So omnipresence means what? Everywhere present. So it's not a problem that Jesus can be in you, and he can be in you, and he can be in you at the same time. Nobody needs to be confused about that one. Are you confused about that? No. It was when he came as a man that he came and is limited to one space. Is it not so? But the moment he died and he took again his office as God, what happened though? He could do those things. And he had been telling us ahead of time, except a corn of wheat falls down to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth so much fruit. What the Lord is looking for in this new year onwards is what? A body. If you remember, in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, finally, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. If you are serious that you want to serve God, the very first thing that you must do is what? You present it. And say, Lord, this is me. Lord Jesus, come and fill this body. I'm sure you remember our song. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Jesus is the life in me. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Amen. A body you have prepared for me. And so since you have fashioned a body for me, I present it back to you. In the name of Jesus. Why is that important? Before we come there, now you see something said, a body you have what? Prepared. The word prepare has a connotation of foresight, right or wrong. If you say you prepare something, that means that there's something that you want to do, and that preparation is required ahead of time for what you are intending to do, right or wrong. A body you have prepared for me. Let us still hold it. Verse 6 says, in burnt offerings and in sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. You don't understand, though. Did you hear correctly? In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. That means all what you are intending to do so that I will be acceptable to God. He has no interest in them. If Christ lives inside you, you will please God. Amen. Amen. If he's the one living inside you, by him, does he not know how to please his Father? He does. So all your own struggling and trying, and forcing yourself and telling yourself, no, I must do this. This is how to walk with God. This is how to talk. That's how to look. If somebody is living inside you, there will be no need. He who is living inside, I hope you know, is someone that's alive. That's when church songs now begin to make sense. He's alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Forever is alive. Amen. He goes to places. Hallelujah. He talks. Amen. He has zeal to get the purposes of God done. Amen. You are going to become a wonder this year.
Amen.
See, I was not praying for you. I looked at you in the spirit. And I saw where you will be. Whether you say amen or you didn't say amen, you made a mistake by hearing what I'm saying. Because it is sinking into your spirit. It doesn't matter how messed up your life is, if it was messed up before now. When Jesus steps in, he knows what to do. Hallelujah. He does what? It doesn't matter how messed up your life is. It doesn't matter. If he will just step into that body that you have presented, he knows what to do. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. All those sacrifices, all those trying to, beg God, okay, I will fast more. My New Year resolutions. I will not be angry this year. Of course, you are old enough to know New Year resolutions don't go beyond the first 1 week. Amen. You are old enough to know that. Verse 7, where we are going. Then said I, and I'm praying that this is what you will say today. Then said I, behold, I have come. You will find purpose. Behold, what? I have come. You have come where? Into the world. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. To do your will, O God. You were told that the retreat is entering into your prophetic destiny. At another forum, we'll find a way to teach you walking in your prophetic destiny. Since you have entered. Amen? But what am I talking about? He said, behold, I have come. I saw the way people are running away from Nigeria to go to Canada and the other countries. It's okay. Is it not okay? It's okay now. I'm only praying that where he posted you to will be Canada. Because if it is not Canada, why can't he learn it? And if you're not presenting him a body, if he wants to labor in Nigeria and you have run to Canada, hey, Jesus. And if you are not in your location will bypass you. It's a very simple thing. Behold, I have come. In the multitude of the books, it is written of me. Psalm 139. Let us see the book that he's talking about there. Psalm 139. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. You are going to read for me. Is it that verse 15 or verse 16? But I'm not there yet. So I'm trying to get there so that we can see it together.
Verse
16. Is it 16?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Can you read for me from verse 16? You will stop at verse 17. Yes.
Every day of my life was recorded in your book.
Can you see that now? Wait, oh, you know, we use scripture to interpret scripture. Is it not so? Hebrews 10 says, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written concerning me. Right? Now, in Psalm 139, we are saying, thine eye sees my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Can somebody read that, just that verse alone, in a simpler translation, so that we can understand what it's saying, before we read the next verse?
You watched me.
As I was being formed in secrecy. As I was woven together in the dark of my mother's womb. Yes?
You saw me before I was born.
You saw me before I was born.
Every day of my life was
recorded. Every day of my life was what?
Recorded
in your book. Is that all? No. It's supposed to be at least before any of them. That's what we saw here.
Every moment was laid out.
Before a single day had passed. So, you know it's very dangerous when you are not in Christ. Do you know why? All the things that are written concerning you will be happening. You know, the year that you have happened will be happening. As it's happening this way, you still be heading this way. Joyfully. When your days are already written. Ephesians 2:10, Amplified Classic. I'm still on this issue of everything was already written. You know what's exciting for me in it all? Eh? Okay. The Lord says that I want to get ahead of myself. I'm so excited.
We are God's own handiwork.
Is that not what we read in Psalm 139? That I was woven. Yes?
His workmanship.
We were his workmanship.
We were recreated
in Christ Jesus. We were born anew. Please, why? It is so that we may do those good works.
Which God predestined.
Oh, I thought we read in the last two passages that all my days were written. Now, in Ephesians, it is called predestination. We are talking of what God had already recorded before any of it came to be. It's called what here? We were predestined.
That is planned
beforehand. That, can you see? That is planned beforehand.
For us.
Taking parts.
Which he prepared ahead of time. That we should walk in them. Living the good life. Which he prearranged.
Oh my God. It's not a bad life he prearranged for you. I just don't have time. I would have taken you to Ephesians 1, Living Bible Translation, from verse 5 to verse 11. And I would have shown you that he planned for you in love, even before you were made. But I don't have time today. Let's go on.
The good life which he prearranged
and
made ready for us
and made ready for us to live. If you have Living Bible, go to either verse 5 or verse 6 of Ephesians 1. The place that says, for his unchanging plan is to adopt us into his family. Even before he made the world,
God loved us.
Hey, my God. Before he made the world, he already loved you. Please don't. Why are you in a hurry now? Before he made planet Earth, he already loved you. That means you are older than the Earth. Is somebody with me? Do you know why faith is difficult for you? Because you don't know how loved you are. The moment you know how loved you are, faith becomes very simple and very easy. Because you will see his plan. And as you begin to walk in it, I remember many years ago when Satan told me that my mates are running up and down to get what to do. Now I'm sitting down here with Bible. I was a young man. And he says, see, even if you're not eventually married, even though you don't even know who you're going to marry, when you're not eventually married, where will you put the person? And I looked at it true. The Lord asked me to resign from my work. And I did. See, don't go to Canada except the Lord is saying, I want to do something in Canada. And don't go and resign if the Lord is not saying anything to you about resignation. And he said, so I looked at it and I said, the Lord has asked me to resign. Soon I have to leave my father's house. And I have no income. Lord, see what the devil is saying. And then he asked me. He said, the mansion that I'm building for you in heaven, how much did you give me? I said nothing. He said, what about the crown that I promised that I will give you if you serve me? I said, I didn't contribute anything. Then he said to me, if I can build you a mansion and prepare for you a crown, can I not rent a flat? This was many years ago, about 15 years ago. And so, you know, because I was alone in the house, I was walking around in my father's house like this. I have a mansion, I have a crown. I have a mansion, I have a crown. I have a mansion, I have a crown. Amen. See how much you are loved. Because if you are, as long as you are not returning to that book, borrow me your Bible. This is that book, oh. Amen. Which book? Speak up now. That's where everything is written. Before any of it came to be. Maybe you don't even know that this is the constitution of the spirit realm, the Bible. That's why Satan also quotes from it, because he's a lawyer. You understand? Because this is the word of God. That is the highest and the most supreme of anything and everything. Wrap it up quickly so that I can move on, because I need to move on.
Long ago, even before he made the world. God chose us to be
Can you imagine that? He had already chosen you to be his own. Before he made the world. Before he made the world. Please hold on. Do you know that? You know, we are 200 million people in Nigeria. In China, there are 1 billion. Is it not shocking that he has a plan for all the 7 billion people on the earth? There's nobody that God will scratch his head and wonder. No, not one. But when you don't know, you want to copy other people. Amen. I've always said it, and I'll still say it again. The Lord never told me to start a denominational church. I didn't hear it. Amen. And I've been with him for a while. Amen. So when you now see a denominational church doing well, you two will want to say, we need to put on suit. Amen. Now you have left what God has written concerning you into another man's lane. You will only but become a confusion. That's why the proliferation of churches. Everybody is doing church. You honestly think God called everybody into that? No. So all the people that he sent that I need your body, but I will be the one inside. Do you get the idea now? Eh? And I'm sending you, I'm posting you to an orphanage. That's where I want to work. That's the dimension I want to use you for. Musa, how would I be the one that will be in an orphanage? People that have no children. Somebody else, he will say, I want you to go to prison. Eh? As in prison ministry, that's what I'm giving you. But the person wants to go to Canada. There's no level of anointing oil that you pour on the head of a goat and then you throw it from three-story building. That, oh yeah, fly! Sing! I believe I can fly. No. Oh my fossil and let me. It will squash on the ground. Because a goat is not made and is not meant to fly. Yes? Quickly, please. Can you take it again?
Long ago, even before he made the world,
yes.
God chose us to be his very own.
Yes.
Who was Christ will do for us.
Yes.
He decided then to make us holy in his eyes.
He decided then to make us holy in his eyes.
Without a single fault.
Without a single fault.
We who stand before him.
We who stand before him.
Covered
with his love. With his love. That's verse what?
That's verse 4.
Verse?
That was verse 4.
Okay.
Verse 5.
I don't have much time. We'll just take that verse 5 alone. It still goes all the way down to verse 11. But I don't have the time. Yes?
His unchanging plan
has always been to adopt us
into his own family
by sending Jesus Christ to die for us.
And he did this.
Some translation says, because it brought him great pleasure. This one is saying, because that's what he wanted to do. And also, when I hear, say, you are going to pray, hold your head. Everything that is blocking my joy, you know, prayer points that you can't find in the Bible. Prayer points that bring you into trouble. Because you have not done like Jesus, who said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the books, it is written concerning me. Why? To do your will, O God. That is what? To do those things that were written concerning me. Do you understand me up to that point? Now, you know, I said before, I said I was so excited, so I wanted to run ahead of myself. Then the Holy Spirit cautioned me that I should wait. Now is the time. I have come to do your will. So maybe you are the next president of Nigeria. Don't be afraid that your mommy is not educated. It is Christ that will be president inside you. Hallelujah. Eh? That I have come to do your will. You are not going to be the doer, because it is God that works in us both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. It's not you. It's not you. That's why I said, as I look at you, I smiled and I'm so happy. Because you will be a wonder this year.
Amen.
Oh, I just said I was not praying. I'm just making a statement of fact. Okay, you could say I'm prophesying. But I'm making just a statement of fact. Because I've never known Jesus to be second anywhere. Can you think about it? Where was Jesus second? That in compassion, somebody else is more compassionate than Jesus. Eh? In not cheating anybody. Eh? That somebody was more faithful than Jesus in not cheating anybody. So if he's now, and then when it comes to wisdom, wisdom to birth ideas. Eh? Is there a superior to Jesus Christ? So imagine that Jesus is only asking for one thing. Eh? He says, "You know, I bought you. So bring me that body that I've bought. Let me fill it with me. Because I have come to do the will of God that was written concerning you." You don't understand what I'm saying. This, I'm talking about the destiny for you. Except that you are not the one that will do it. And yet at the end of it all, he will reward you. Thank you. Who is following me? Who understands me up to that point? Eh? He's not asking you to struggle for anything. He's not asking you to fight. He's asking you to yield. What did I say? He wants to fill you. When he told me that late last year, for my own life, I thought it was a joke. Shego, I've never worked in my life. Eh? The way I started working this year. And what did he tell me? He said, "I want to walk in you. I want to what?" Then, even the kind of strength. Look at the meetings that we've been having, Nikki, in the last couple of days. Include sometime, including day meeting, including night meeting. And I've never entered a new year purposefully like this year. Where so much had been done. It is not you. Said a body you have prepared for me. Sacrifices, burnt offerings, you have no desire in those things. Behold, I have come. In the volume of the books, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Except that you will not be the one doing it. Yet it is being done in your name. And when people see you and you look like this, they don't know it is Christ that is inside you. Eh? They don't know Christ's name now is precious inside you. You know, people outside will call you, they say precious. But it's actually Jesus. I feel like shouting. Are you with me? The problem is when we don't know who bought us. I will not tell you, you need to surrender to Jesus. No, the issue is this. It's either you surrender in peace, because he didn't borrow you. He bought you. Amen. And let me ask you, the things that you own, let's say Israel, you just got back from work. And then this shoe that you were wearing, this boot, when you remove it from your leg, you just threw your leg up like this, then one went to the roof, on top of the roof, and then you left the other one outside. When rain wants to fall, it beats it like that. If people come and say, "Why are you doing this to your shoe?" Don't you have every right to say, "It is my shoe, and I can do whatever I like with it." Huh? Will you be unrighteous? No. He bought you. The reason why you have been struggling and Satan has been flogging you very well is because you think that you own you. Amen. You think that what? The 1 Corinthians 7.
7:23.
Yes.
You were bought with a price.
They were bought with a price.
Purchased with a preciousness.
Purchased with a preciousness.
And paid for by Christ.
And paid for, not borrowed. By Christ.
Then do not give yourselves up to become, in your own estimation, slaves to men.
Don't become slaves to men.
Consider yourself slaves to Christ.
Instead, consider yourself as a whole property of Christ. Let him do with you whatever he wants to do. Amen. I'm trying to wrap up. I will take you to Philippians 1, verse 19 to 21. for you to understand how to use this body. Amen. Okay? How to use this body. As you yield this body for Christ, who had bought it, to do with it what he wants to do. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 to verse 21. Yes?
For I know that as you pray for me,
yes,
the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me.
Yes?
This will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed.
Yes.
But that I will continue to be bold for Christ.
Yes.
As I have been in the past.
Yes.
And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ.
Yes.
Whether I live,
yes,
or die.
Thank you.
For to me,
yes,
living means living for Christ.
For to me, living means what?
Living
for Christ. For to me, what does living mean?
Living for Christ.
And dying, go?
It's even better.
It's even better. If I must be alive, why must I be alive? Oh? It is because I'm the property of Jesus Christ and he wants to do something with it. I'm not, you know, I hear this slang now. They say God will bless your husband. Have you? Mankind. I don't even want to comment on it. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or it be by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. Are you following me? Because I'm trying to wrap up. Huh? Whether by my living or by my dying, what must happen? Christ, who lives within me, I must lift him up. He must be the Lord and Master, and he must be seen by all to be so. And that, you know what's interesting? I don't need to open my mouth to say anything. I only need to allow Jesus to live his life in me. Amen.
Amen.
Can I ask you a question? Those of you that you must be on Twitter and on social media. I'm not saying don't have a social media account. That's not what I said. Those of you that's where you live. If Christ is on the social media, what will he be there for? Eh? Will Jesus be doing like this? Borrow me a phone. Will he make the mistake? Eh? It was the man that was in you before that was doing all that. And that man, if you remember, that man died last year. And we buried him. We made sure we didn't come home with him. Either by my living or by my dying, Christ must be magnified in my body. That same body that he has prepared for me. What must happen? No, he must be magnified in it. I want to wrap up, because of time, with this last scripture, and that's where we're going to be taking our prayers from. Acts chapter 19 and verse 20, Amplified Classic. Acts 19 and verse 20, Amplified Classic. Are you there? Are we all there? Okay, if you are there, can you please read for us?
Thus the word of the Lord.
Thus the word of the Lord.
Concerning the attainment.
Yes.
Through Christ of eternal salvation.
Yes.
In the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Grew and spread and intensified, prevailing mightily.
Amen. The first thing I want to ask you here is this. The word of the Lord or the word of God, is it just the name of a Bible or is also the name of a person? Eh? Who is the person bearing the name, the word of God? In Revelation chapter 19, I want you to look at verse 13 and I want all of us to read together. Are we all there? Let's all get there first. Revelation 19, verse 13. Are we all there now? Okay. So we're reading together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called. And his name is called the Word of God. So can we come back now to Acts? So we know that when we say that, and so mightily grew the word that it prevailed. Is it talking about Bible verse? Is it even talking about Bible book? What is it talking about? It's talking about Jesus. Now, but I want you to look at the things, the manner of this growth. Because this is what the Lord is demanding this year. As you are offering him a body, there's what he wants to do. Thus, the word of the Lord grew. Jesus wants to grow in you. That's how, why we went to that place in Philippians 1, verse 20, that says, Christ must be magnified. What's the meaning of the word magnify? Enlarge. Is it not so? To grow, to become bigger, right? Okay. The word of the Lord grew and spread. He wants to spread inside you. It's possible that there are some sides of your life, either spirit, soul, or body, that Jesus did not permeate before. This year, he wants to get there. All those nooks and crannies, he wants to get there, he wants to spread. And intensify. What does it mean of the word intensify? Deepen. Thank you. Another one again, because I'm sure there are more synonyms. Intensify.
Grow stronger.
To grow stronger. Thank you for that. Then the final one that I really like. And prevailing. Mightily. What does that one mean? He took over. That's just the word. If you will give him a body this year, he will grow in it. He will spread in it. He will intensify his hold upon that life. And he will prevail over that life mightily. That's what Jesus wants to do in your life this year. Amen. He wants to fulfill the plan and purpose of God for your life this year. But he will be the one to do it. For those that are due for marriage, for instance, some of you that are here that are due for marriage, who will marry inside you? You didn't hear me. Who will marry inside you? It is Jesus. It's not by being desperate. And I hope you know that he is the desire of all nations. The only reason why people are not lining up is because it is you that people are still seeing. The moment people start seeing him, even unbelievers will wish, I will have this for a wife. And if you are a man, they will wish, I have this one for a husband. We are going to pray. Are you ready to pray? We are going to pray. Let us stand up to pray. First of all, we'll take that song and then we'll take prayer points from each of the scriptures and then I will leave this place. It is no longer I. that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. In me, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, in me, in me, in me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the light in me, in me. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, in me,
in me,
in me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the life in me, in me. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. I want you to turn it to a prayer point. I want you to confess it afresh again, that is no longer I that is living in this body. The former occupant of this body has died. It is somebody else that is now living in this body, and it is Christ. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in this body. And the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, it is no longer I. It is no longer I. Even in the name of Jesus, it is no longer I. I want you to tell him, I have come into the world and I've been born again. I know that what you are looking for is not sacrifices and offering, but you are looking for an offering, the offering of my body. I want you to make a conscious effort that in this new year and from this year onwards, I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, because this is my reasonable service. I present this body so that Christ, who now lives in me, can have a body that he can use in the fulfillment of his purpose. Maka tu sagabaradoro. Heya kalita sagabayada. Lord, I offer my body. I offer my soul. I offer my spirit. My spirit man as your temple, my body as the physical tent that men will see. But I know you live inside my spirit. Take over this body. Take over this spirit. Take over this soul. Even in the name of Jesus, take it over, Lord. Take it over in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no pleasure in burnt offerings and in sacrifices for sin. So then said I, behold, I have come. I want you to deliberately tell him, Lord, I have come. I won't enter into this new year as if there's no purpose of God for my life. I have come. I've come into this year. I've come into this nation, Nigeria. I've come into this continent, Africa. I've come into this world. In the volume of the book, it is written concerning me. To do your will, O God, I will fulfill your purpose. Because you are the one who will work in me, both to will and to do of your own good pleasure. I won't be the one doing anything. You will be the one walking in me. You will be the one living in me. You will be the one fulfilling the purposes and the plans of God for me and in me, and through me and with me, and by me, even in the name of Jesus. Maka tu sakabaya. Eli proto sikababaya dozoka. Nikta kashuru bababayaga. Li proto sibaba. Oh, take over, Lord. Take over, Lord. Napukasha rababa. Eli proto sikibre baba. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life or it be by my death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want you to pray. Christ will be magnified in this body. If there's any reason for me to be alive, it will be Christ. If there's any reason why I'm alive, it will be because of Jesus Christ. And it will be for him, and it will be for his purpose. Nakita shaga baba. Le poto si keburuga. Lika shaka baba. This year, from now onwards, from henceforth, Jesus will be magnified in this body. Jesus will be magnified in this body, because a body you have prepared for me. I have come to do your will, O God, because in the multitude of the books it is written concerning me. Oh yes, Lord. Baba. I want you to pray. Then mightily grew the word of God. Let Jesus magnify himself in this body. Let him take over. Let him grow mightily. Let him grow, let him spread. Let him intensify and let him prevail over me mightily. Let me not be able to go somewhere he doesn't want to go. Let me not be able to say what he does not want to say. Let me not be able to act or react in a way he does not want to react or act. Nepto kashagayaba. Li pragodiza. Lem dababayada. Shekakata sakabaya. Oh Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about a transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, please contact us on 0814-0399-782, 0818-7282-363, 0803-3483-058, or visit our website at www.reformationplatform.com. God bless you.